like to call the meeting, the May 20th meeting of the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission to order. The first item we have is on the agenda is a public forum. And anyone wishing to speak in the public forum can step to the podium. This is your opportunity to speak for 3 minutes on any matter that might be on your mind. After the public forum has ended, only those representing matters published published business on the agenda or recognized by a council or basically by a commission member of the House. Is there anyone here that would like to address the commission? Seeing none, we will move forward. The next item on the agenda is action on minutes. We have 2 sets of minutes. The first minutes are the regular meeting of April the 15th.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the regular meeting on April 15th, 2024.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Those minutes are approved. The second set of minutes we have is from a special meeting from May the 2nd.
I will make a motion that we approve the minutes from the special meeting on May the 2nd, 2024.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion on those minutes? With that, motion second. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. That motion carries to approve the minutes from May the 2nd. Okay, the next item on the agenda, we have reports. We'll start first with financial reports. Mr. Sigmund?
How are you?
Well, how are you, sir?
Very good.
The floor is yours.
All right, this is our report for the month of April. Starting with billed revenue and consumption, we've got a year-over-year percent change in our billed revenue for water of 6.1%, an increase from April of 2023. For sewer, that percent change is 7.8% over the prior year. Our billed consumption for water is up 3.5%. While for sewer, it's up 3.9%. In terms of our budget to actuals, April is 83% of the way through the fiscal year. Using that as our benchmark, we see that both revenues for water and sewer are above that benchmark. Water is sitting at 87% of budget, sewer at 106% or 92% without that $2.5 million from the ANRC. Water expenses are below the benchmark at 77%, and sewer expenses are as well at 76%. For year-to-date income and loss, on both water and sewer, our year-to-date income exceeds the budgeted income and the prior year income through the same period. We'll scroll down here to the second page for a bit of a closer look. On the water side, we've got income for April of $189,000. And I'll note that that looks a little bit lower than the prior months because we incurred expenses of $180,000 for water purchased from the Beaver Water District for supplying Bentonville, but didn't get that billed out into the next month. So we'll get that 180 back in the following month. But it's still a positive net income for water for the month, and for the year we're sitting at $4.7 million. That's relative to our budget of 3.74, and it's about $460,000 more than this same time last year. On the sewer side, we've got April income of $460,000. Totals up to 5.5 if you don't include that ARPA grant. That 5.5 is relative to our budgeted income of $3.3 million, and it's about $1.3 million more than this same time last year. So the numbers there in terms of our year-to-date income are tracking well. We like to report on access and impact fees, and we got a bump this month. $487,900 collected in April. That brings our year-to-date actuals to 97% of what they were for the entire year last year, and 160% of our conservative FY24 budget. For a little bit of extra context, for the first 9 months of the fiscal year, that average access and impact fee across both the departments, water and sewer, is about $177,000 per month. So $487,000 is a big increase for April.
Is there anything in there that stands out? It is a big number.
My notes on those projects, if any of our engineers want to jump in, they can, but I had the Embassy Apartments in here, Stony Creek Drive work going on there, and something from Brittenham Construction, about 300 lots, I think, associated with that.
I'll just note that there's a number of projects that I think started toward the end of COVID when the materials started coming back, and I think we're seeing some of those projects start to finish up now. And we've got a number of multifamily and subdivision projects finishing up. So there's kind of a surge right now, and it's probably within the next couple of months as well.
Well, that bump in access and impact fee revenue helps explain the bump we see in our total unrestricted and restricted funds. We're sitting at pretty much $50 million even. That's up from $48.9 million last month and $48.5 million last year. I note here that in the month of April, we did close on our 2024 series revenue bonds for the pollution control facility, $31.2 million. And we have drawn down 1.1 of that already for bond issue costs and some of our preliminary engineering work. Our 12-month rolling average for lost water is sitting at 9%. And I note here that in the month of April, our FY25 budget process was underway. It will hopefully conclude later on in this meeting. So that's our financials for the month of April.
Looks good.
Questions, comments?
All right.
We'll see you back here in a little bit. Thank you. Okay, next item, ECF reports.
Good afternoon. You guys have had a good month since you've seen you last. Pollution control has been going just like I like it, which is pretty boring. Everything is working well. And no significant really issues. Our guys, you can see doing fog and the industrial pretreatment are staying on top of small issues, so we don't have large issues out in the field. And all of my departmental managers are doing the same to keep the plant DMR report that you see at the beginning looking that way as well. So we did take that opportunity for a slow period. We sent six guys down to Hot Springs for training. We've been working with engineering on both the capacity improvements and dryer replacement. We're getting ready to release electrical package for bid on the dryer. The PCF is working to catch up with the rest of the utility on our City Works implementation. David Ingram presented in here, actually on his safety last time, and done a tremendous job there. He's also been helping us with our city work, so I appreciate operations loaning us him. He's a very valuable asset and has moved us a long ways towards getting caught up. And just a side note, part of the reason we were behind is our GIS out of the plant was pretty much non-existent. We just had one big box that said the plant, and City Works being GIS focused, we were kind of behind the curve when we started. I don't think any of us really realized that. We did a lot of work at the beginning that was kind of for naught. But we've recovered that and started making strides. But we did treat almost 330 million gallons in April. If you took our average dry weather flow of 8.5, we should have just had 255. That means we treated about 74 million gallons for I&I. That includes 4 inches of rain over 11 events, which is kind of dry for April, but April's a fairly wet month, so overall that's not terrible. We were able to deal with that pretty well. That's all I've got. If you guys have any questions.
I see no questions.
No.
Thank you. these engineering reports.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We'll start out with development plan review. 127 plan sets came through the portal for us to review. Of course, as always, some took longer than others. Notably, we reviewed 40 large-scale developments and 45 commercial building plans, and also some final plats came through. So those are some of those subdivisions that started a couple of years ago that are finishing up and are ready to get service. There's really no new patterns developing. We're still seeing a lot of that development along the I-49 corridor and up around downtown and up here around Hudson, and also that Walnut corridor. So notably, we've had a few subdivision final plats come in. A number of these traditional single-family neighborhoods are finishing up, and so they'll be requesting a water meter soon. So that's those will draw more access and impact fees as well. I don't know if we have any other projects of note. If there's anything in this list that you'd like to know about, I can try to answer. If not, we can move on. So the change in project status, so we received bids for three projects that we'll be presenting to you today. These are all city street projects, been in the works for a while. Poplar Street and 28th Place we've been working on those for several years, Aaron, haven't we? Under construction, I'll just put a flag on Vans Edition. That's currently on hold. We're trying to obtain an easement so that we could continue with the rest of that project. From a potential land development project that never happened, was supposed to provide an easement through there, so we're still trying to get that so we can finish that project up. JB Hunt Drive is substantially complete. The utilities have been in place for a while now. Open and everything. So the city may have a few more items on that. We'll probably see Uptown and Oak Street overpass finishing up here in the next couple of months as well. Some other things we're working on, specification updates. Last time I presented some inspection forms, the commission recommended that we put those into the specification updates. We're doing that, but with that, there are some other things that we want to do. We really need to completely overhaul our record drawing requirements. Since we've gone from CAD to GIS being our mapping system of record, we really want to make it easier for our guys to intake that information. So we're going to change what we're asking the engineers to present to us. For those record drawings. We've also got some minor revisions to construction materials and methods, and also we're working on a section to add to address low pressure sewer systems. So the grinder pumps and the small diameter sewer mains, we do not currently have standard specifications on. We're seeing more and more of those, so we want to get those addressed. Still working on the sewer capacity policy. We actually have a kind of a big roundtable meeting next week, I believe, with some of the other cities in the area to kind of see what they're doing. We've invited the health department as well as some consulting engineers from the Texas region that has a little bit more refined policies through TCEQ about the guidelines and the rain events and how that relates to the surcharge. And so and also coordinating with planning that's developing their proposed development code. So we're still working on that. Solids handling phase two, we're still working diligently with our design team on that. We hope to have 90% plans and Crossland Heavy is our construction manager, and they will be soliciting bids for subcontractors and looking at doing that in July, and hopefully having some bids in August to come back and get that work started. And then City Works integration, engineering field and office, still working with Timmons to put together a process for new services. And I think that's become a lot more of a complicated process with so many variables. You know, is field building, is the contractor building it? Is it a commercial or residential impact and access fees? And there's just a lot to it that affects a lot of departments. So I think that's taken us a little bit longer to nail down than we'd initially intended. And we're also developing a inspection workflows so that our inspectors can go out to the field, assign inspections and asset to assign inspections to the assets that are in the maps. And so we'll have all of our proposed assets that are being installed as integrated into the GIS maps. Are there any questions on any of that? Just a quick update on the Pinnacle sewer progress. If you go out there on site, on the north side of Seacrest Circle, on the south side of the golf course there, it's we've got quite a mess over there right now. But the good news is that we're about 90% complete laying the pipe through those golf course areas. Our contractors pipe bursting all of that and working his way back out onto Champions Drive. Our biggest problem right now is that we haven't had enough of a break in the rain to finish the asphalt work and patching on the cart path, and we can't really finish the sod work until we finish the cart path. So, because they've got to get some small single axle dump trucks in there and don't want to replace the sod twice. So I know those guys are really anxious for us to get out there and get it cleaned up, but we're just praying for a dry spell here so that we can at least get 2/3 of this site cleaned up while we work our way out. So this is some sewer. This is the sewer construction where we're pipe bursting and reconnecting those services along the backside of those homes along Seacrest. And kind of in the background, there's an excavator sitting next to Country Club Drive. That's all been backfilled and completed. I think this was taken last Thursday before they moved that equipment. And so again, this picture was taken in the rain, so it was pretty muddy. But this was the solution for the cart path reroute. They were using the existing cart path to move materials around, so we kind of separated that path. So it's a mess right there right now. So we're slowly working our way out. That's all for me. I've got one more photo. Okay, this is 7 Seacrest Drive, and this is kind of a difficult area right here because we have a previous homeowner had built a stucco wall and all kinds of landscape items in the easement. I will say the contractor's done a pretty good job of trying to work around all that hardscaping to go and find the sewer service, this little white pipe right up here in this corner, and excavate around all that stuff to reconnect sewer mains down here about 10 feet underground. And so they've been working as carefully as they can not to disturb anything, but when they build stuff like this in the easement, it's really difficult to work around. So we've had some conversation with the homeowners. They're as understanding as they can be. They've given us some grace. Those are just some of the things that we're working with out there. Hopefully get this one behind us pretty soon.
So
grace is probably.
I think I ask this every time, but it's going to be done by LPGA, right?
We will. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel now. Fortunately, these people live out of state and they're having their house remodeled right now, so it's torn up good. Anyway. So
most likely, they probably were not the original builder of that. They probably are somewhere down the line, so
yep.
It may be a shock to them, but it's being fixed.
We did hear from the contractor last week, late last week, they could get a week of work in dry weather, maybe done. We just haven't gotten that.
Tough time of the year.
In another cycle this week, but, well, thank you for the updates.
Yeah.
I know we've all, we're sensitive to making sure that we can kind of push that project through. And although, yeah, it's been a challenge, but thank you for the updates.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so that's in your reports.
Questions, anything else on the reports?
No old business, so we will move to new business. And we have some resolutions. And we will start with the first resolution, is number 2414, and that's authorizing backhoe transfer. And that would be Mr. Wallace.
Sir, we're just asking for approval of resolution number 2414. And that's just where we basically donated a backhoe to the Parks Department. It didn't have a backhoe that really functioned. You know, they had little John Deere tractors and stuff like that. And we had a backhoe that we no longer needed in our service. And we were going to put it on GovDeals. And Brent said that, why don't we see if one of the other departments in the city needs it? And because there was really nothing wrong with it. And the Parks Department happily accepted it. So that's what resolution number 2414 is. It's just getting y'all's approval. Right now they have it, but it's as a loaner until y'all pass this resolution.
Good job. Glad you thought of that. I will make a motion to pass resolution number 24-14, a resolution authorizing the transfer of a certain backhoe to the City of Rogers and for other purposes.
Second.
We have a motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries to pass resolution 24-14. The next item is resolution number 2415, a resolution approving the purchase of certain motor vehicles, authorizing future funds from purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
Okay. A little history on this one. We have, you know, the problem with us having to trying to buy trucks this year. So we got a call from the Dodge dealership over in Siloam, and he says, hey, I've got a couple of trucks over here that is your color and everything. So they were not in our budget to purchase. So I went to Brent and I said, hey, I've got a couple of things in our budget that we're not going to purchase this year, this capital items. Can we take it to the commission about reallocating some of this money that we have for these other things and turning it into allowing us to purchase these trucks, because we need to purchase trucks. We got a couple of trucks that's just really on their last leg, you know. So basically, we got about $92,500 in the capital budget there that we will not spend for lift station pumps and on Garrett Road pumps, on the Garrett Road pump this year out of our capital budget. And we're asking for y'all to pass resolution number 2415 for us to purchase two trucks at the Superior dealership in Siloam for $78,190.
I'll make a motion that we pass resolution number 24-15, a resolution approving the purchase of certain motor vehicles, authorizing expenditure of funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
Second.
Okay, the motion second. So discussion, quick question. So the $92,500 is what we have in the budget for this year. So what we're essentially, you're not going to spend that. You're reallocating $78,190 of that 92 for the purchase of these two. I know in our budget coming up, there's still, I know we've got, I guess, forecasted to purchase some vehicles this next year. So will you maintain those, will stay the same for 2025.
Yeah.
And so in, of those things that we're essentially taking money away from, will those go back in the 2025 budget? They're things that we have to do at some point.
Yeah.
We're just kind of moving the money around today in order to go and acquire these.
Basically, we kind of leave that money in the budget every year because, like, for the lift station pumps, we never know when we're going to have to buy a lift station pump. So those, that money's always in there.
Okay.
And the Garrett Road pump, we never know when we're, that's an expensive pump. We never know when we're going to have to purchase one. Right now we have a couple of spare pumps out there that we can use for the Garrett Road. You know, we just don't have the flat pumps that we would prefer to have in out there. So we kind of leave that money in every year until we have to purchase the flat pump out there. So,
so we have the flexibility to
yes, sir.
All business we need to, but also yeah. to take advantage of these.
Okay. Yeah. And normally we wouldn't do that, but this, like I said, this time we have this opportunity. So
I think it sounds appropriate.
Because we've had trouble getting trucks. So get them when you can.
We'll get to that now.
Yeah. Okay.
And also this resolution that we're waiting to have a bidding for the purposes. So we have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 24-15. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion 24-15 carries. Yes, sir.
So we only have three members. The chair needs to vote today.
Okay.
And I assume the chair has been voting as he's been announcing his results.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that?
That's perfectly fine. I just need the record to reflect that the chair is voting for these items as well.
Okay. Thank you.
To establish a quorum.
Mr. Fraser, thank you. Yes. I'm running it. And yes, thank you. Okay. The next item is resolution 24-16, and that is to purchase a camera van and a rain equipment.
Yes, sir. So we're coming before you again to purchase a camera van. And in the budget, we had changed that a couple of times in the budget because we first put a camera van in the budget, and then we come to you and we have requested the permission to take those out. That out and to add in three 5500s, and y'all graciously allowed us to do that. Well, then the strike at the company happened. We are no, and we cannot get the 5500s. So, but now we can get the camera van that we couldn't get before, and we can get that before July 1. So. We're coming, bringing the camera van back before y'all to get y'all's approval for purchase. And in the budget, we have $282,000. And the purchase for the camera van is $252,633 plus shipping and fees. And a couple of other related expenses. But the $282,000 would cover the fees. And the taxes.
Okay.
Well, I'll make a motion. Resolution number 24-16, a resolution approving the purchase of goods and services through the National Purchasing Cooperative, waiving requirements of competitive bidding for such purchases, authorizing purchase of a camera van and related equipment, and for other purposes.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? Always moving money around and vehicles around. Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries to pass resolution number 24-16. Okay, the next item we have bid results. On these bid results, will we need to take action on those?
I'm sorry, I have a handout.
Is this the same that was in the packet?
No, sir. Those do not appear in the packet.
Okay.
I apologize. I didn't have a recommendation until this afternoon, but I knew.
Okay, we'll know. So on each of these, we'll need to say official action on 4, 5, and 6 for the bid results.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the first bidder is over there, the West Property Improvement.
Yeah, so as an overview of the project, if you're familiar with the Arkansas Street Project, we started out with pavement. They kind of did a what they call a road diet, so they narrow in the lanes and then provide on-street parking, bioswales, and trails and all this stuff. They're going to do a real similar project down Poplar Street. So this is going to go from the improvements that were down on First Street all the way across Highway 71B to an area behind the old Smoking Joe's over there. That's where it'll end. We have a number of water and sewer improvements in this corridor. We actually have two generations of water lines. We have the original 4-inch cast iron line that runs up the middle of the road, along with a newer ductile iron water line that goes along the north side. We've also got a lot of clay sewer in here that we'd like to replace, and in lots of cases are forced to replace just due to the locations of their bioswales and street lights and storm sewer and everything else they're putting in here. We were able to retain a lot of the there's a large 16-inch ductile iron water line going along the north side of the street. A portion of the way, probably about 40% of this alignment that we're able to leave in place and just reconnect the services to it. The city opened bids on this project, and I've passed out the bid results to you. We had three bidders: Crossland Heavy Contractors, Emery Sapp & Sons, and TriStar Contractors. The city has advised that the TriStar Contractors is not a responsible bidder due to some previous project experience. I think they were the original contractor on the Pinnacle Roundabouts projects, and that project had to be rebid midway through. My understanding is because of lack of performance. And so they proposed to award the contract to the second low bidder, which was Crossland Heavy. The total for water and sewer was $2,840,305 out of a total street project bid of $15,926,648.50. Staff's recommendation would be to award the bid for Poplar Street improvements to Crossland Heavy Contractors in the amount of $2,840,305, authorizing funds to reimburse the City of Rogers for those utilities.
Okay, you have heard the staff recommendation. Is that going to, along the edge, is there any parking on?
There is. This is all on street parking right here.
Okay. Because I knew at one point there was a study that had kind of looked at the angles, but that's all on street. Okay.
I believe
parking flows in and out of the Tillery is also a concern.
Yeah. So. Would be.
Okay. Staff recommends awarding the bid for Poplar Street improvements, 8th Street to 1st Street to Crossland Heavy Contractors in the amount of $2,840,305. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to pass or to award it. The staff recommend awarding the bid for Poplar Street improvements, 8th Street to 1st Street to Crossland Heavy Contractors in the amount of $2,840,305.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Motion carries to award Poplar Street improvements to Crossland Heavy. Okay, that is item number four. We'll move into item number five, which is bid result, Pleasant Grove and South 28th Place Roundabout. Is everything is in the packet on the...
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we can move to...
Bid results back a little bit quicker. These are...
Okay, thank you. All right.
All right, so this one is for West Pleasant Grove Road. And what they're doing here, if you're aware of the area, you can see it's just to the west of exit 81. And currently, 28th Place here runs right next to, so they're trying to get rid of this section of road, put a little roundabout here, which this intersection is large enough, they're not actually getting any more land.
There are no little roundabouts anymore.
But they're relocating 28th Place to be right here next to Casey's, if you're aware of the area there. And it will tie back in with the existing 28th Place a little bit further down. There's just some water and sewer relocations that have to happen here. It's pretty minor as far as what we're doing. I believe we're extending some sewer for a couple of lots over here that are currently without sewer, and then dealing with the roundabout construction, making sure that we're not in a bad location with our existing facilities. So we have two bidders that came in on this one. Crossland Heavy was the low for the overall. The water and sewer was a little bit higher, but we're still underneath the engineer's estimate. You have any questions about this project?
Okay. Staff recommends awarding the bid for West Pleasant Grove Road, North 28th Place, Rogers, Arkansas, Crossland Heavy Contractors in the amount of $182,177. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve that Crossland Heavy. We'll take turns. That Crossland Heavy Contractors would get the bid for $182,177 that would go from North 28th Place on West Pleasant Grove Road.
Motion?
Oh, second.
Motion second.
Drew me on.
Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries to award Crossland Heavy Contractors the West Pleasant Grove Road, North 28th Place, $182,177. What's the timing on that?
The timing on that? I do believe they're trying to get these projects moving, but with Crossland winning apparently being the low bidder on three projects here, it may cause some shuffling just so they can get their crews lined out.
Got a lot of roundabouts going.
Yes, sir.
Redoing them too.
Okay, the next item we have bid results. That would be West Oak Street, 52nd Street to Dodson Road.
Yes,
and that would also be information contained in our packet, right?
Yes, sir. So this is extending Oak Street. Currently, Oak Street, this is going to continue from the overpass project and run the road all the way. If you're aware of Lisa Academy out there, it's going to extend on to Dodson. We've got a little bit of water line that needs to happen, and then we have to adjust. There's a sewer line running through this little valley through here. We've got a manhole that's pretty deep underground that we're readjusting. I will note that we adjusted the alignment because the property owners to the north and to the south of the proposed road wanted quite a bit for their easement, so we thought it was advisable to just scale down how much sewer work that we were doing there. So the price would be slightly less than what's here because the bid went out with all the sewer line work. I think there's about 60 linear feet less of sewer what we'll actually construct versus what was bid. But we had three bidders on this one, and Crossland Heavy had the overall lowest bid
But you can see they came in a little bit higher on water and sewer for us on this one.
I'll make a motion that we take the staff recommendation and award the bid for the Oak Street from 52nd to Dodson to Crossland Heavy Contractors in the amount of $524,031.
Second.
And a motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. Motion carries to award the Street 52nd Dodson Road to Crossland Heavy, 524.
I tell you what, I think that'll take, it'll be interesting to see, again, how long that happens. But I think it'll take traffic because everybody right now, you're going on further down, you're turning back on Stony Brook. So it has the potential to take a lot, maybe a lot of traffic all the way up and down Dodson Road, but then to take it back to Oak once it gets over. So it's good. So.
Okay. The next item on our agenda for new business is a big item. We have the 2025 budget. Those budgets for water and sewer departments. And so, Sigma will turn the floor over to you. Thank
you. All right. Well, here it is. We've been working on it for a couple of months now, and it's my first budget with WRU. So, happy to have the first one under my belt, I hope, and had some good collaboration with all the managers and everybody here. And so, we've got some interesting things in here and some interesting context compared to the current fiscal year. So we'll jump into it and we'll start with revenues. I'll be presenting the proposed budgets for both the water department and the sewer department. So revenues budgeted or proposed to be budgeted for the water department are $20,474,760. And for the sewer department, we're looking at projected revenues of $23,293,160. This chart also gives you the context of the FY24 budget, as well as our FY24 estimate, how we expect to end the fiscal year ending June 30th. So just looking at these charts here, maybe the thing that kind of sticks out to you is the increase on the sewer side from the FY24 budget to the FY24 estimate, and then a continuation of that in FY25 as well. I can tell you the big difference there are the pair of grants that we got from the ANRC. So we did not budget for the $2.5 million grant for the Train 2 rehab in FY24, but we earned it and collected it last fall. So that's the difference between the budget and the estimate. And then we do know and we anticipate that for FY25, we'll collect another $2.5 million grant for the pollution control facility solids handling project. So both of those are in there on the sewer side for revenues. Diving in a little bit deeper to water revenues, you see on the top table here a breakout between billed consumption and other revenues. If you look towards the right side of that table, you see the dollar change from FY24 budget to the FY25 budget. It totals about $1.6 million, or 8.6% increase over the FY24 budget. The way that we looked at the billed consumption was by taking the FY24 estimate, how we think we'll end the fiscal year, and then tacking on a 4% rate increase and a 2% increase for growth. That rate increase is part of our already approved scheduled rate increases that go into effect each July. This year it's a 4% increase for water, and that growth increase of 2% is something that we've kind of seen consistently over the last few years, and we're anticipating that for FY25 as well. If you look at the dollar change for the other water revenues, they're $910,000. To help explain that, we can look at the table beneath it, and I've pulled out the biggest line items there explaining the change. So we've got interest income as well as access and impact fees. And both of those kind of buckets of income were conservatively budgeted for FY24. We've come in well over budget on those lines. And so for FY25, we've made an attempt to kind of true up that budget a little bit and be less conservative, I guess, more in line with our recent collections there. So for the access and impact fees, we're plugging a 2% growth increase over the FY24 estimate. And then for the interest income, you'll see it's down a little bit from how we think we'll end FY24. That's mostly just due to the fact that we're planning to use some of those cash reserves that are in water. And we'll see a similar story in sewer as well. But I've just brought that down a little bit from the FY24 estimate to reflect the use of reserves. And also, I think interest rates, if you watch the headlines, are supposed to be trending down somewhat. So I think that's been pushed out a little bit in terms of the timeline there, but we're watching that as well. On the sewer side, it's presented in similar fashion here, billed consumption and other revenues. So for billed consumption, instead of a 4% rate increase, it's a 3% rate increase. And we do still include that 2% increase for growth. Overall, we're looking at a $4.9 million increase in revenues. And if you look at that top chart there, that's pretty well explained by that other category. And if we drop down to the second table, these are the things that are pretty much adding up to that. Again, it's our interest income, as well as our access and impact fees. And as previously mentioned, under that miscellaneous income line item, that's where we see the ANRC grants, right? So it wasn't budgeted there in FY24. We collected one of them. We'll collect the other one in FY25. And we see those numbers here. For expenses on the water side, if you look at that top table, I've got them subtotaled by operating division. So you can see field, for instance, is up $310,000 from the 24 budget. Office and IT is up $244,000. Engineering is down just a little bit. I think that's just due mainly to a shifting of some costs over to the sewer department. If you look at general expense, it shows a little bit of a bigger decrease of $67,000 or so. We had budgeted to call our 2012 series water debt in FY24. And so there was interest expense and some other expenses related to that that we did not end up incurring in FY24. So that was about $200,000 net difference that we didn't incur. But for that line, this probably would have been a positive number here in terms of how general expense has changed from one budget to the next. We didn't budget for that early paying off of those bonds in FY24. We haven't budgeted for it in 25 either. The coupon rates on that outstanding debt, the payments that are left, they range from 3 to 3.5%. And our cash reserves right now are earning us 5%. So in this environment, it doesn't really make too much sense to pay off those early. We'll keep earning our 5% for as long as we can. That's a $474,000 total increase in expenses for water, 3.1% change. The second table there just breaks it out in a little bit of a different fashion. Instead of by operating division, it's by personnel and non-personnel. And so if you just slide over to the right side of that table there, you can see the percent change for salaries and benefits. It's up 10.7%. And for the non-personnel lines, it's up 1.3%. Included in that non-personnel line is our wholesale purchase of water. We've got it budgeted at $6.2 million. We learned last week that Beaver Water District, the board, adopted their new wholesale rate, an increase from $1.54 per thousand gallons to $1.67. So that's a 13-cent increase, and our wholesale water purchase budget does anticipate that 8.4% rate increase, plus an additional 2% that we factored in for growth. On the sewer side, this is what it looks like. That top table, again, subtotaled by operating division. You can see increases for general expense, engineering, field, office IT, pollution control facility actually shows a decrease here, but that's explained by the fact that we had budgeted in FY24 something like $380,000 worth of interest expense for our new debt, our 2024 series ANRC bond. But due to the timing of that closing, as well as the structure of the debt itself, we didn't incur that big interest expense in FY24. We will incur a little bit, I think, because we had an initial drawdown of funds of $1.1 million this fiscal year. And so there'll be some interest expense that we'll need to post related to that. For FY25, I've budgeted interest expense only related to that initial drawdown. So it's fair to say that as we continue to do work at the pollution control facility and then reimburse ourselves by drawing down additional funds from that bonded debt, we will incur additional interest expense that should be posted to the general ledger. I have not made an effort at this point to try to estimate what that interest expense will look like. I figure if it turns out to be a material expense, we can always come back to you and ask for a budget amendment to reflect that. The other thing to note here, though, is that we're talking about a non-cash expense here, because this is all capitalized interest through November of 2026. That means that we'll be halfway through FY27 before we make our first principal and interest payment on this debt. So that's good to keep in mind as we look at these numbers, and that's explaining the decrease there that you see for the PCF. But for that line item, it probably would be about a $170,000 increase shown here for the pollution control facility. But in total, we're looking at an increase of $316,000 or 2.1%. Or to look at it a little bit differently, salaries and benefits accounting for about $400,000 of the change, a negative number for the non-personnel costs, salaries and benefits up 9% for sewer. Looking at that debt service that I was referencing on the water side, again, we've got two series of bonded debt. We've got the 2012 and 2016. We'll make principal payments of $1.2 million and interest payments of $538,000 by the end of the fiscal year. We'll bring down our liability to about $15.2 million. On the sewer side, we've got that 2016 series that we are making principal and interest payments on. $1.2 million and $200,000 respectively. But we've also got that 24 series. Again, you see no numbers there for principal and interest because we don't have any debt service yet. But we do expect to be drawing down some additional funds as we reimburse ourselves. And if all goes according to our schedule, we'll have a balance of long-term liability in sewer about $15.8 million by the end of the fiscal year. So here's our revenues and expenses on an accrual basis for both water and sewer. Revenues in black, expenses in red. And I put this slide here just to show you visually that budgeted revenues are significantly more than budgeted expenses, right? This is a nice chart. We like charts like this. If you merge those two things together, then you get budgeted income. And so for water, we're looking at budgeted income of about $4.9 million. And on the sewer side, it's about just under $8 million. And again, for reference, I've given you the context of the FY24 budget, the FY24 estimate. And there's, you know, as we've kind of already alluded to, some expenses that we did not incur, a number of revenues that came in better than expected. That's leading to some of the differences that we see here. And this is, again, a happy chart. And it's in contrast, perhaps, to the next slide, which is the change in our restricted and unrestricted reserves as budgeted. So because we do accrual accounting, that means that we recognize revenues when they're earned and expenses as they are incurred. A lot of our spending is capital spending. So if we spend $1 million on a capital project, we don't actually expense $1 million that year. We expense $1 million divided by 50 years. Right, a very small percentage of that. We expense it as we use up the capital asset. So that means that we can have a situation where our budgeted income is a positive number while our cash outlay is actually a negative. And so we see that here, right? We are planning to use reserves in both the water and sewer funds. So the light gray here is the change or the use of restricted reserves, and the dark gray is the change in unrestricted reserves. To clarify, the restricted reserves are funds set aside for depreciation, as well as funds that we collect from access and impact fees. We qualify to basically reimburse ourselves for those things as we replace our capital infrastructure and as we add on to it. Those are qualified disbursements. We keep track of it, and then we are able to free up those restricted funds and basically reimburse our operating and maintenance accounts with those restricted funds. So we'll use 2.7 million of restricted reserves in water, 1.5 of unrestricted reserves in water. On sewer, we'll use about 317,000 in restricted reserves, about 6.4 million in unrestricted reserves. Given that change in reserves, then, the other thing that's useful to do is to kind of compare our cash reserves with our required minimum reserves. So we are estimating our cash reserves at the end of this fiscal year, June 2024, to be those numbers there at the top. And then this commission not long ago approved the minimum reserves for 2024 for both water and for sewer. So we can compare those things here. And we can see that for each department, water and sewer, our projected reserves at the end of FY24 are about $11 million higher than our required minimum reserves. And so then what we're looking at in that next table is, to go back to the previous slide, look at water. We're using $4.2 million, right, of our reserves. So that $25.5 million worth of reserves at the end of 2024, June of 2024, that'll drop by $4 million to $21 million in change at the end of FY25. And similarly for sewer, it'll drop by that 6.7 or so, from $24 million down to $17 and change. We can also estimate what we think our minimum reserves for 2025 will be. We can calculate that with our FY24 operating expenses plus our FY26 debt service to get that number. And so this combination of a use of reserves on water and sewer, decreasing our cash reserves for each, and the increase of our proposed minimum or our estimated minimum reserves leads us to those numbers at the bottom, which is at the end of FY25, we would expect our water cash reserves to be about $5.5 million higher than our minimum. And for sewer, we have about $1.8 million higher than our minimum. That's obviously not something you could do every year and get away with it, right? But we can do it this year, and we'll have to have some plans for what to do in subsequent years. Because capital spending is such a big part of what we do here, it's probably beneficial to spend a little bit of time digging into this, and I will keep it at a high level, but this chart breaks these capital outlays out by category for water and for sewer, and then gives a combined number as well. And that's how this chart is sorted, that combined number, highest to lowest. We've got the FY25 budgets for each, and then for context, the FY24 budget and FY24 estimates. So for water, capital projects, we're looking at an FY25 budget of $14.8 million. That's compared to our FY24 budget of $10.4 million. And our FY24 estimate of $8 million. On the water side, the sewer, we're looking at a budget of $35.8 million compared to a budget last year of $34.6 million, pretty close, but an FY24 estimate of $20.7 million. If you add it all up, we're looking at capital projects totaling $50.6 million in FY25. So to hit the highlights here, looking first at RWU system projects, a combined $20.3 million. That includes $6.4 million for Blossom Way Sewer, $3 million for sanitary sewer maintenance contracts, $2.5 million for Pinnacle Sewer Improvements, $2.2 million for the Highway 12 water line. There are a number of other projects that add up to that $20.3 million, but these are the big ticket items. Looking next at PCF, solid handling, we've got $10 million budgeted in the sewer department. That includes an additional $400,000 for design. It also includes $644,000 for equipment. This is the second payment installation of our Huber drying equipment. Actually, that payment is $1.8 million in total, but we will have the advantage of using the city's $1.1 million of ARPA funds to help pay for the majority of that. So we are on the hook for what's left, which is about $644,000. We've also got $9 million budgeted for construction, and that project will continue on into FY26 as well. Contributed capital, this is the only category that's not a cash outlay, right? These are assets that developers and contractors construct and then hand over to the city for perpetuity. We include them in our capital projects because we record them as assets and we will depreciate them over time and maintain them over time, but this is not cash out of pocket here. We've just budgeted these consistent with what we've seen in the last year or two. City street projects are at $7 million combined. We've got $2.5 million for Poplar Street reconstruction. I guess we just saw a slide about that. $1.5 million for Oak Street, and $1 million for various improvements to the downtown streets and alleyways. PCF capacity improvements. This is new this year, and it will keep coming back. So for this year, it's $2.5 million. That includes $150,000 for the slide says design. My understanding now is that that's basically a concept plan. And then the other $2.4 million that you see there for phases 1A and 1B is the formal design work that will go into it. $2.5 million to get that project started. We'll take another look at that in a subsequent slide. The budget for meters is $1.3 million. That's up from $900,000 in the prior fiscal year. We've also chosen to budget this entirely in the water department instead of splitting it between water and sewer. Fundamentally, it is a water asset, or they are water assets, and also we feel like the water department can better handle these expenses. Sewer is going to be asked to fund some other things, and so we thought it fair to shift the expense for the water meters over entirely to the water fund. Vehicles, we've already discussed a little bit tonight. We don't have any fleet additions, but we do have six replacement vehicles here at a total of $950,000. Those three Dodge Ram 5500s, we're going to try to get those again. Wish us luck. The Dodge Ram 1500, two of which you replaced or approved to have replaced this fiscal year tonight. The third one we will budget to replace in FY25. We've got a Ford Maverick in there for engineering, and then for field, a combo sewer truck to replace what Johnny lovingly refers to as our white elephant. For communication equipment, we've got a SCADA redeployment. So you can kind of think of our software infrastructure here in terms of three big legs, right? We've done Tyler for our financials, we've done CityWorks for our asset management, and now SCADA for our SCADA software for our alerting we also need to address. We've got $400,000 in here for the software implementation, $83,000 for miscellaneous hardware associated with it. Other capital projects of the pollution control facility, we've got $312,000 in here for specifically identified equipment, and then we've got $130,000 in here for minor equipment, i.e. if it breaks, we'll have some money. We've got various projects in here for field equipment totaling almost $300,000, and we've got some miscellaneous office equipment totaling about $47,000. So if this represents our total budget for capital projects, then we've pulled out on this next slide the infrastructure project. So here we're talking about city street projects, RWU system projects, and improvements at the pollution control facility. We're not talking about anything that's been donated to us. We're not talking about other capital projects like machinery and equipment and vehicles. None of that, just infrastructure. And as we look at this five-year capital improvement plan, I'll just emphasize that only the first year we're proposing to have a budget for, right? That's all you're voting to adopt today is the FY25 budget. The other years we've given you here for context and for foresight and for planning, just so you're looking at the same numbers we're looking at. So for the water department, it's a budget of $9.5 million for FY25. And that's the biggest number that we see over the five-year horizon right now, between $7 and $8 million each in the next four fiscal years following it. For sewer, though, it's a little bit different. We've got an FY25 budget of $17.3 million and then some bigger numbers in FY26 through FY29. That pollution control facility, the capacity improvements that will be required there, that's a $120 million project through FY30. If you look at those numbers, I mean, we can't fund that with current year receipts. We can't fund that with cash reserves. We're going to be needing some additional bonded debt to get this work done. We do have a rate study in progress, as we're required to do every 5 years. It's good timing for it. That's underway, and we'll certainly, we have already been communicating with our consultants, our capital needs, and they're helping us to figure out what kind of rates will be needed to service the debt that will be needed to get some of these projects done. Just for color, we've thrown in some slides here to show you the capacity improvements that are expected at the pollution control facility over the next few years. Just looking at the footprints there, there's some significant things that need to get built, right? I'll finish with a couple slides on personnel and then wrap up. In the water department for FY24, we have 32 budgeted positions. For FY25, we are requesting two new additions. For the field division, one new field technician, and for office, one new IT network administrator. For sewer, in the current year, we have 49 budgeted positions. We're asking for three additional positions. Two in the engineering division, one new construction inspection technician, one new GIS technician. And the field division here has a second field tech, one each then in water and in sewer. If you have any questions about personnel, we can certainly address those. If you look at the budgets, though, for these, this is just the salaries. So if you look at the salaries for water and sewer, it's a $274,000 increase for water, a $378,000 increase for sewer, total of $652,000. That does include the five new positions. It includes any adjustments that will be necessary from our annual salary study. It includes a 1% merit pay to go into effect in July. And we are proposing a 3% cost of living adjustment that would be effective January 2025. I believe that's the same as what we did this year. Is that right? The COLA, is that 3% this year as well?
It's 3 or 3.
So to conclude then, this is what's before you tonight, our FY25 proposed budgets. On an accrual basis, for water, we're looking at budgeted income of $4.9 million. For sewer, just under $8 million. Looking at it on a cash basis, you can see that chart there shows you the cash inflows from receipts, cash inflows from bonds and grants on the sewer side, cash outflows for operating expenses, including capital replacements, outflows for capital improvements, that's net of the donated assets, cash outflows for debt service, and then we're making use of restricted and unrestricted reserves to balance in both of these departments. I know that was a lot. If you have any questions, I or the other managers or Brent would be happy to address them.
Well, first, I just want to say I know that budgeting is it's an enormous task. It's important. I know you've spent a lot of time, but all the department heads, I know there's a lot of people that probably spend a lot of time on budgeting. So we appreciate it. Also, would say thank you for sending out a little bit early so we get a chance to take a look at it, spend a little more time on it. If you have questions, comments, I know there's a lot of information. I assume that what we'll need to do, Mr. Frazier, would be do we need to approve the proposed budget? Is there any formal action that we need to take to accept this as a proposed budget?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the commission typically passes a motion to approve the budget.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I assumed that we did. I just wanted to clarify that. So you all have the budget. I would just, I know I'm going to spend some more time on it. I'd reached out to Brent. There's a couple of things. A lot of those were answered tonight, but this time you have the 2025 proposed budget before us, and as has been indicated, I would entertain a motion to approve that budget tonight so we can move forward.
I make a motion to approve the 2025 proposed budget for this year.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the 2025 proposed budget for the Water and Sewer Department. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. That motion carries again.
Thank you.
Good work, and we're glad you're still here.
Morning.
Okay. Meanwhile, back at resolution number 24-17, item number 8, designating authorized you do.
It's got my name on it. Anyway.
It does. You're up.
We just did this not long ago, but with the resignation of our chairman, it's been necessary to update this resolution. This is, of course, the list of authorized signatories for depositories for Rogers Water Utilities. That's my understanding. This is basically the same thing that was recently approved, except that Chairman Peter Farmer has been replaced by Jerry Carmichael on this list under Section 3 on this page, as shown.
Okay, thank you. We have before us resolution number 24-17.
I make a motion that we pass resolution number 24-17. A resolution designating authorized signatories for depositories for the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission and the Rogers Water Utilities and for other purposes.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. So resolution 24-17 carries. The next item is an award for SCADA system redeployment and related services.
To help us with our project to redeploy our SCADA system, and that is mainly going to be replacing the HMI software, and we've been on the hunt for a while for that. Johnny could tell you, looking at different vendors, and this is just going to be guidance to help us choose the right direction and also to implement that software. But there's more to it. We're gonna redesign the hardware, the system architecture, the network, redeploy that alongside this, stand up a solution for secure remote access, and there's some end of life stuff out there that needs to be taken care of as well. So all of that, we had in the RFQ, we had two respond to that. Brown Engineers and ISI, interestingly, collaborated and submitted like a combined statement of qualification, which was, we have a real good relationship with ISI, so, good luck on their part. But Garver, we felt edged them out mainly because they have systemic cybersecurity built into their, you know, they have it in their staff, they have a track for the project in there. We didn't see any cybersecurity in the Brown engineer's statement of qualifications, so that's why we went that direction, and we're requesting the approval of the selection of Garver as a professional services firm for the project, with staff being authorized to negotiate and approve the final form and content of the professional services contract.
Okay, commission members, we have a staff recommendation. This time I'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the staff request for approval of selection of Garver as the professional services firm for the project, with staff being authorized to negotiate and approve the final form and content of the professional services contract.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries to select Garver for professional services firm for the project, the SCADA project. Okay, the next item is resolution number 24-18, purchase of certain IT security projects. And this is certain information technology security projects and services. Appropriating funds for the purchase or waiving competitive bidding and for other purposes. Excuse me, sir.
Chairman, there's a staff request to go into executive session for this item since it pertains to security of the public water system. The way that would work is specifically allowed by FOIA to have a discussion in executive session for water system, utility system security. The reason for the request is that Jerry's going to tell you all about what he wants to buy for his security system, and he'd rather it not be in the public record than been successful through FOIA about what he is wanting to have. What he'd like to get, if a hacker would know the products, they might also know the vulnerabilities, and so it relates to security. And we've never done this before, it's very cautious, but I think the caution is warranted since water systems are under attack all the time, including foreign governments, so it is probably a smart thing to do to be as careful as possible with the IT security. So the way that would work is if the commission wants to go into executive session, someone would have to move and second it. You go into executive session, Jerry makes a presentation. Anyone who's not needed for the presentation would go ahead and step out. I go ahead and step out. I'm an outside contractor, so the Attorney General opinion that outside contractors can't be in the room during that kind of executive session. But other staff members that would be present, like RIP, IT staff, anyone who's needed for the presentation, everyone else would step out. And there's no members of the public here, but the members of the public would step out also. And once the commission starts the presentation, you'll have to come back into public session and announce your decision. And then you'd be asked to pass that resolution if you're whichever wants.
And just for clarity, I think you said at the end, Frazier, is that we'll have a motion to go into executive session, but we will come out of executive session with the intent that we then will address resolution 2418 and that we would anticipate taking action at that time.
That's correct. Your official action will be in public.
Yes.
And the resolution is drafted to reference what has been presented in the executive session. In terms of the recording for this executive session, there's going to be a separate recording of just the executive session. It won't be publicly available, but it will be a record of the commission's action or the commission's what was presented to the commission. So the resolution will reference what was presented. There will be a record of what the commission did, but it's not going to be publicly accessible because it is related to security.
And the most important part is there's no formal action being taken in the executive session. We will come out of executive session at that point and we'll take action on the motion.
I make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss resolution number 24-18.
Second.
Motion second, and that is for the purposes only of IT security, yes, IT security products. Okay, motion second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you all. It is 5:34, we are coming back into a regular session out of executive session.
And at this time, we have before us Resolution 24-18, a resolution authorizing the purchase of certain information technology, IT security projects and services, appropriating funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
I will make a motion that we pass Resolution Number 24-18, a resolution authorizing purchase of certain information technology, IT security products and services, appropriating funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion carries to pass Resolution 24-18. And with that, I believe that concludes the agenda of the new business. At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair, thank you all. Thank you.